Welcome to episode 35 of the Pixel Power Podcast. I am your host, Steven, and the first thing I want to do today is apologize for the delay. It has been 3 weeks since my last recording, and I think I have a pretty good excuse. No, the dog did not eat my show notes, but I did have a chance to go visit my 106-year-old great aunt. Yes, I said that correctly. 106 years old. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that visit in the addendum. So stay tuned towards the end. And I just want to let you know that I am trying to get back in the groove after that. What I didn't anticipate is that I wouldn't be able to prepare show notes or do recording while I was gone. So I was hoping to get an episode recorded last week. I am getting caught up this week, but I should be back in, getting back into my groove here as we go forward towards the end of the year. As most of you know, I have a subreddit. It is the Pixel Power Podcast subreddit, getting a lot of good traffic there. We've already got more members there than I've had in any other social media platform. So I believe our audience is enjoying that. But one of the things that you can do in a subreddit is you can create chat rooms. And I do have some chat rooms created so that you can have a synchronous conversation if you like. But I've decided to try something a little interesting. I would like for you to join me on October 15th. From 10 to noon Eastern Daylight Time in a chat room that I have entitled Made by Google Event. And I have a link to the Made by Google live stream, which is interestingly going to be provided at Twitter. And so you'll be able to click on that link in the chat room, load up the live stream, and we can watch the Made by Google event together and we can chat about it. So I will be there from 10 to noon Eastern Daylight Time in the chat room. So come join us. You will need an account to join the chat room, and you will, I believe, and I am trying to figure this out, I believe you will also need to join the Pixel Power Podcast subreddit to do that. But come join us. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Even if it's just 3, 4, or 5 of us chatting about it, it'll be neat to hear what listeners think about the new Pixel phone that's supposed to be released, potentially a new Pixel laptop device, and some other assistant devices. So come in and join us and we'll chat about that. Now, for this episode, I want to dive into the application that is the default keyboard application for every Pixel phone, and that is Gboard. Now, Gboard is also available for other Android phones. So if you are using a different Android phone and listening to the show, make sure you download the Gboard app if you haven't done so already. Third-party phones a lot of times just have the old stock Android keyboard, but Gboard provides the keyboard and oh so much more. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about those features built into the Gboard that will make you even more productive and make your Pixel phone easier to use. So, of course, the first thing we use Gboard for is typing. It's inputting information that we need to either search or compose an email. So you get that. It's just basically a keyboard that we type. Most of you take your thumbs and, you know, you take your thumbs, you tap up on the keyboard and things pop up on the screen and you submit those somewhere. Well, Gboard provides other features that will allow you to get more out of your typing, but also allow you to input more types of information. So I've tried to break this down in such a way that it makes sense. Gboard, it can actually be a little overwhelming. There's a lot of stuff in here. So I'm going to talk about a lot of that stuff. And as a matter of fact, I'm probably going to talk about all of that stuff, but it's really going to be incumbent upon you to download that app and kind of find out where those options are, turn those on. I do have a comprehensive set of show notes that will help you, so be sure and check out the show notes for episode 0035, and let's learn how to use Gboard to be more productive. So let's, again, talk about typing. We've already talked about the basic ways to use a keyboard. No, nothing new there. But some of you may not know that with the Gboard application, you can turn on something known as glide typing. Glide typing is where you swipe your finger to the keys roughly. Instead of tapping on them, you're swiping out words. Most modern phones have this. And I say this because there's a couple of additional features that you may want to engage or turn on glide typing, even if you don't use glide typing. And the first one is, if you enable glide typing, You can then use your space bar to move the cursor left and right. As you know, there's no cursor keys on our Android keyboard or even in Gboard. But if you have Glide typing enabled, you can take a thumb or finger and swipe it left and right on your space bar, and it works like a cursor left or right. It's a great feature. It will also allow you to use the delete key, you know, the one you tap on to delete single characters. Now you can long swipe left on that and delete an entire word. So again, even if you don't use Glide typing, and I'm going to tell you how to turn that on here in a little bit, but even if you don't use that, you'll want to activate that feature just for those two swipes alone. Another feature that requires you to turn on in settings, again, we'll be talking about that, is the opportunity to press and hold a key and be presented with additional keystrokes. So as it stands, the keyboard is kind of limited into the alphanumeric keys that are available. But if we turn on a specific setting, we can hold a key down and we'll get more options. So if you need, for instance, character accents, or you need access to special characters, this will be a way you can do that. So we'll come back to that when we talk about the settings. The other thing that Gboard does really well, as you type, Gboard will make recommendations for the next word that it thinks you are going to type. And I will be honest with you, I tend to forget about this, and I tend to forget how good it is. I just start typing and doing words. And if I were to really take a look at what the recommendations are that are being made, many times I can avoid typing additional words. And I do that just by tapping on the recommendation, and that word is thrown into my sentence. It is a great feature. I'm trying to learn how to use that more. What I have found is, as I use it, I make less mistakes in my longer prose that I'm typing. So I am trying to get better at that myself. One of the other things you can do, if you inadvertently select a word that you have misspelled, sometimes you can do that. You'll type a word, it'll show up in your suggestions thinking that you're trying to teach it a new word, and then you accidentally add that word. Now you have a misspelled word in your personal dictionary or your suggestions dictionary. Not your personal dictionary, but your suggestions dictionary. And you can get rid of that. What you would want to do is continue to type that word again. You'll see that misspelled word show up. So even if you see any words in the suggestions that are misspelled, you can get rid of those by holding down your finger on the word, dragging it up, and you'll see a trash can, and drag it in there. So that's how you can clean up your misspelled word in your suggestions. And then the last thing I want to talk about in just the normal typing without any major configuration is to remind you to tap and hold on that comma key. The comma key, if you tap and hold on it, will reveal an options cog and provide you with a way to quickly enter the single hand keyboard mode option, which again, we're going to talk about in a minute. So those are some basic typing tips I thought I'd provide at front, and they'll provide us some context as we go into the rest of our Gboard discussion. Now, the other thing I really like about Gboard that should not be a surprise to anybody, but Gboard is actually providing tools so that you can search without even going to the Google homepage. So within Gboard itself, you can conduct a Google search. It's pretty sweet. It works pretty well. Make sure you give that a shot. You tap the Google icon. It's a little circular icon in the upper left. Simply tap on that, start to type your search. And it will suggest search items just as it would suggest search items if you're on the Google homepage. Again, no surprise that search would be built into the keyboard, and that being a keyboard developed by Google. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky. I was trying to decide, how do I want to describe the features and describe how to get to them? So what I've done is I've broken up the Gboard into a top menu, I've broken it into a bottom menu, which we'll talk about, and then I've broken out the settings, and I want to talk about each of those settings. We'll move through those pretty quickly because that could get pretty mundane, but for now, let's talk about the top menu. The top menu is that menu that shows up when you tap on the, it's either the Google logo or you might see it being a greater than symbol. So you'll tap on that. And the first thing you'll see is an option for settings. Now, I am not going to talk about settings yet. We're going to spend the last part of the show talking about settings, but know that that's the way that you can quickly get to the settings that provide many, many, many options for your Gboard. Now, the next one, though, is the clipboard option. Did you know, and I don't think a lot of people probably know this, did you know there's a clipboard manager built into the Gboard application? It works really well, and you can do some interesting things with it. So you definitely want to go to clipboard. It is off by default, and that's a privacy feature of Gboard. So if you didn't know it was there, didn't know you needed to turn it on, you don't even know it's actually a feature, right? So you want to go into clipboard, you want to turn it on. That will then, every time you copy a selection of text, it will put that into the clipboard manager. I do have an image in the show notes so you can see how that works. And it allows you to organize those clips. So if you tap on the pencil, that which is actually the edit feature, you can add manually to the clipboard. You can delete things in your clipboard. And then one of the things I like is that you can pin clipped items. So if you have something that you think you're going to use on a regular basis, pin it and it will save it. Now that's important because Gboard does not hold your clipboard across sessions. So if you power off your device, you power it back on, your clipboard will be cleared except for pinned items. And again, that's a security feature just to kind of clean things up. Now, why might you want to add to the clipboard? Well, you may want to add some things that you type on a regular basis, lengthy things, and then you can add that, then pin it, and then you'll always have access to that long selection of text. Think of it as like snippets. And it's a great way to kind of get to snippets. Now, the Gboard is also going to provide another way for us to do some snippet management. I'm going to share that with you in a little bit. But know that the clipboard manager is there and really go in and explore that. I think you're going to enjoy it. Another option provided in Gboard is something called text editing. I keep getting ahead of myself today. Text editing is a large control palette that makes it easier to edit and select text in an application such as a word processor. So if you need to do a lot of editing where you're removing text, moving text, copying, pasting, you can use this edit text palette with these big buttons to quickly move your cursor left, right, up, down. You can toggle a selection by simply hitting the selection toggle, move your arrow, and it will highlight text. You can select all, copy, paste, delete. You can quickly move to the beginning of a document and quickly move to the end of a document. So again, those tools under text editing allow us to do those things that we're kind of used to doing on a regular full-size keyboard on our Pixelbook or our Chromebook, and do that with our phone. So check out the text editing feature. And the next feature that you'll see in that top menu is something called one-handed keyboard. The one-handed keyboard is a truncated or smaller version of the keyboard. And the reason they call it one-handed is it's designed to shrink the keyboard in such a way. So it's basically shrinking it in the horizontal. Doesn't do a whole lot in the vertical, maybe a little bit in the vertical, but really in the horizontal so that you can use one thumb to reach every key. Now, I am blessed with very long thumbs, and for me on the Pixel phone, it's extremely easy for me to get to every key on Gboard with a single thumb. But if you've got shorter thumbs or smaller hands, you can turn that feature on and again, pull that keyboard so that you can get to every key with a single feature. It's a pretty handy feature, and I think it's very useful for those that need one finger or one-handed access to the keyboard. In addition to the one-handed keyboard, Gboard also provides a floating keyboard. Now, I'm going to admit, I really like the floating keyboard. The floating keyboard is a keyboard that has an anchor on the bottom of it, and we can move it anywhere on the keyboard. As you know, the keyboard generally is at the bottom of our Pixel screen. If we use the floating keyboard, we can move it up, left, right. We can even resize the floating keyboard to whichever size we want, so we can make it a one-handed keyboard that floats if we want to do that. It's very cool. It's very helpful, especially if you have something more, that's maybe more at the top of the screen that you're trying to fill out, and you just want your keyboard closer to that area, you can do that. Again, I like that. It's really kind of a cool feature, so check that out. And again, try out floating and one-handed keyboard. One of those will probably work really well for you. Now, not only does Gboard provide different ways or different formats for the keyboard, it will also provide different themes. And I'm really enjoying the themes that are available in Gboard. So you tap on the top menu theme. You can create a custom theme from an image if you'd like. So you can have a theme created from any image in your Google Photos library. It also includes several colorful themes. And if you're into this whole dark mode thing like I am, yes, there is a dark theme available. It's a real black, especially on the OLED screen of the Pixel phones. It looks amazing. I really like it. And then you can also decide whether you want keys to have borders or not. So do you want a border around the key, or do you just want to see the alphanumeric characters? Those are available using the themes. So check out the themes option, and you can make your keyboard colorful. You can make it bland. You can put a picture behind it. It's just a neat way to customize your Gboard experience. The other option available is something called the stickers. And with stickers, or the sticker option, you can add custom stickers to supported apps. Now, stickers, again, are not supported for every app, but things like Messenger, things like Facebook, things like Facebook Messenger, those devices where you would normally maybe stick it in an animated GIF or an image, if it supports one of those, it's probably going to support stickers. And there are whole sticker packs you can get. I will admit that I am not a fan of the stickers, but you can browse for free sticker packs right within the application and check those out. What you'll also find in stickers is access to Bitmoji for Android. So if you're a Bitmoji user and you have that application installed, you can insert a Bitmoji from the Gboard using that sticker option. I'm not sure a lot of people know that. Many people using Bitmoji, I still think they do it the old way, where they load up the Bitmoji app, they go find what they're looking for, they copy, they come back, and they paste it. Well, there's no need. With Gboard, you can access Bitmoji right from the Gboard keyboard. So check that out if you are a Bitmoji user. And maybe you're not using Bitmoji, or maybe you are using Bitmoji, and you would like to use Google's Bitmoji clone, which are called Google Minis. Google Minis allow you to take a picture of yourself, and then it will create three different versions of Minis. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. But those three different versions of the Minis can be inserted using the sticker option in Gboard. There are also stickers available if you really like stickers for Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars. Those are probably the only ones I would get. Unfortunately, those require some money. And those will probably cost you about $1.99 each, depending on which pack. There are some brands that are free. But some of the really good ones, and probably the ones you want, are going to cost you a little bit of money. So remember to have about $2 ready, or remember to use that rewards app, give Google a little information, start building your perks, and you can probably get those stickers for free. Almost everybody loves to insert a GIF. That top menu is where you could insert a GIF as well, and you can insert those animated GIFs to enhance your communication. Those are always fun. And the great thing about Gboard is you can search for GIFs right within the keyboard. No need to have a third-party app. No need to go out and search using that third-party app and then insert. Just do a GIF search right from Gboard. The other thing that's nice about Gboard is that it will show you the recent GIFs you've used, which is very handy. That way you can share that perfect gift to a bunch of different people at a bunch of different times. So it does keep your most recent. And I should mention, it also keeps your most recent Bitmojis and stickers as well. So it does a really good job of remembering what were the last multimedia types of things you've included or searched for in Gboard. And then finally, along the top menu, something that is just super useful, especially if you're trying to communicate in a different language, and it is the Google Translate section. And yes, Google Translate is built into Gboard. This is one I was not aware of until I started researching Gboard and its capabilities. And I thought you would probably have to install the Google Translate app in order for this to work. You do not need to do that. So just fire up Gboard, tap Translate, then type out the word that you want to translate. Gboard will automatically detect the language, which I think is pretty spiffy. And in real time, you'll see that text translated in the application or in the search box. And I have a really neat example in the show notes you'll want to go take a look at. I'm not going to give it away because I want you to go take a look at it, but it is a German word, or actually an English word that's been translated to German. And then I want you to see the search results that come up with this real-time translation. It's very cool. So if you need to translate and communicate in different languages, don't forget Gboard can do that work for you right within that keyboard application. So that's the top menu. Now what I want to talk about is what are the things we can do or settings we can turn on that give you even more capabilities with Gboard. And this is at the bottom menu. And there is a bottom menu that you can access using the little smiley key at the bottom left of the keyboard. So go take a look at that, find that, click on it, and you're going to see several options. The first one is keyboard. And basically the bottom menu allows you to get to additional features quickly. So, or to bounce around among features. So at the bottom keyboard, I'm sorry, not the bottom keyboard, the bottom menu, you're going to find a keyboard option. If you place your finger and tap on that, that'll display the alphanumeric keyboard. Next to that button, you're going to find the search all media. This is handy when you're not sure what you want to use to express your emotion. So type the search all media, type in a search word like angry, and it will show you angry in Bitmoji, angry in minis, angry in GIFs. Just lots of different options. And then you can choose the media type that you want to express that emotion. You also have the standard Bitmoji search, which we've talked about. And again, that provides access to all your Bitmojis if you're a Bitmoji user. One of the things I like, though, is when you use Bitmoji this way, when you tap your finger on there and start searching for a specific type of Bitmoji, you can type in good night. It'll show you only the Bitmojis that are goodnight Bitmojis or related, but it also has a strip across the top to give you access to the most common types of Bitmojis, like goodnight, hi, love you, yay, sad, etc. So just having that little strip above the top to those categories can save you a little bit of typing. I mentioned earlier stickers. Again, stickers, you can bounce down at the bottom menu, select stickers, search for various types of stickers. And this is where you would also insert your Google Minis. Next to that is your GIF search, where you can search your large database of animated GIFs to express how you feel, as we've talked about. Another option along the bottom is the ASCII emoji. And the ASCII emojis are alphanumeric combinations to express feelings. And I have two examples of those in the show notes, but go ahead and take a look at that and look at all the really cool ways that people have used ASCII characters to create emojis. So these are multiple ASCII characters strung together to create some kind of feeling. For instance, the examples I have in the show notes are examples of surprise. So take a look at those. And then lastly, in the bottom menu, you're going to find a backspace, and it does exactly what you think it's going to do. It's going to delete selections to the left of the corner. So that's the bottom menu. And again, that bottom menu is used to quickly jump between all of these different methods: keyboard, media, emojis, Bitmoji, stickers, GIFs, ASCII emojis, and allow you to mix and match those in a message. And lastly, I want to talk about the settings that you're going to find in Gboard, because if you take a look in those settings, you're going to find some features that you didn't know were available in Gboard, and these are ways to customize Gboard and your experience. So let's go ahead and get started. The first thing is languages. There are If you choose a settings option, you're going to find a whole list of things. And again, the first one is languages. You can choose your language. So choose the language as your native language. I, of course, am using English US. Underneath that selection, you can choose a keyboard type. Now, we're all familiar with the QWERTY keyboard, but Gboard has other configurations. For instance, you can have a handwriting keyboard where you can, instead of typing words, you can write words using your own handwriting. It does work pretty well. There is the QWERTY keyboard, which is another variation of the QWERTY keyboard. It moves a few of the letters around. It's supposed to make it faster for you to type, as is the other option, which is the AZERTY keyboard configuration. So again, these are just different configurations, movements of the alphanumeric characters to make typing more efficient. Understand that if you change this, you're going to have to relearn everything, okay? Now, one I had heard of previously was the Dvorak keyboard. There's also a Coleman keyboard. There's one called a PC keyboard, which just changes the layout a little bit to be more PC friendly. And then finally, my favorite inclusion in this, and it's not one that I would ever use, but I can imagine somebody would use this, and it is the Morse code. So all of those keyboard types are available in Gboard if you just go look in the settings under languages. The other option that you have under settings is preferences. And here are some of the preferences you have so that you can understand how you can reveal more features in the Gboard. First of all, you can display a number row. If you are frustrated that you do not have a number row in your keyboard, simply go to preferences and display number row. You can show the emoji switch key, which replaces the language key in the lower left-hand corner. If you use multiple languages and need to move between English and German or French for some reason, you will not want to turn this switch on. However, if you're just primarily a single language user and you want quick access to your emojis, this switch will turn that on for you. Another option is the Show Emojis and Symbols keyboard, and this will show the most recently used emojis in a suggestion strip. It's pretty handy. Layout. It allows you to select one-handed layout mode as the default. We already talked about one-handed layout mode, but in preferences, this is where you can activate that by default. There's also an opportunity to change the keyboard height. And the keyboard height is nice, again, depending on your finger size or the way that you type. You can modify the height of the keys so you can give yourself a little more surface area to select those keys. It could help you with your typing if you're having some problems with the keyboard. You can also turn sound on key press. So when you press a key, you hear a click, an audible click. You can change the volume of that key press, and you can turn the haptic feedback on or off for the key press, as well as modify the vibration strength. So if you like haptic feedback, if you feel it helps you type more efficiently, you can turn that on and you can change the feedback strength. The default for Gboard when you tap on a key is to see a pop-up or a larger version of that key. For some people, that can be annoying. There is an option to turn that off. So again, that's in the preferences. You can also turn on or off the long press for symbols. I talked about this earlier in the episode. If you want to see additional symbols, turn this on. Press and hold on a key and you'll get a much more varied selection of items for that alphanumeric character. And I always turn this one on by default. And then there's also a way to change the key long press delay, or that length of time needed before that larger menu subset pops up. So that's the preferences area. The next option available under settings is theme. I'm not going to talk about theme because we've already talked about it. And it takes you to exactly the same screen that I shared with you earlier on how to create a theme. But that is available in settings as well. Now, this next area is very handy. It is the text correction area. And this settings area or preferences area will give you things like show the suggestion strip. Maybe you don't like the suggestion strip. That's hard to say, suggestion strip. I recommend you try that 3 times fast. But if you do like it, turn it on. If you don't like it, turn it off. Text correction also has a next word suggestions toggle. So if you want it to learn what your suggestions are based on the way you type, you can turn that on and off. I think what's been interesting for me is as I've typed my email address over and over and over, it has added that to my suggestions. And by typing just the first few letters of my email address, it provides that as an option. I can tap on the option and it inserts it. So I like it on. It is a privacy concern, probably for some. It's not for me, but if you want that feature, you can turn that on and off. You also have options to block offensive words. You can show emoji suggestions in the suggestion strip if you want, or you can turn those off. You can have it suggest contacts. This will need access to your contacts database in order to provide those. It will prompt you the very first time you do that and say, hey, do you want me to have access to your contacts? But that's what it's doing. It's looking so it can suggest contact information as you're typing in Gboard. You can turn auto correction on or off. You can turn on or off the auto space after a punctuation. So if you have a punctuation, it automatically adds a space after that. You can turn on and off auto capitalization. If you like to capitalize the first word of each sentence automatically, then it will do that. There's also the option to turn on and off the double space period. I love the double space period. What you simply do is you tap the double space twice. It puts a period and inserts a space and you're ready for the next sentence. Very handy. And you can toggle spell check on or off. If spell check is on, what will happen is misspelled words will be highlighted as you type. Another option in the settings is glide typing. We started this episode talking about glide typing, if you remember. And glide typing allows you to take your finger and swipe from character to character. You don't type on each character in a word, you swipe, and that pattern determines what Gboard thinks you're typing. Once you get the hang of it, it works really well, and you only need one finger to type. I'm finding I'm using glide typing more and more every day. I'm trying to train myself to use it exclusively on my Pixel phone. So I would recommend you give that a shot, enable it, but also don't forget, just enable it anyway so that you can have access to the cursor left and right on the space bar and the delete word on the delete key swipe. Those alone are worth the price of admission for glide typing. A couple other options you have in glide typing is you can turn on or off the gesture trail. And it's really kind of nice to have that feedback if you're using glide typing. If you're not using glide typing exclusively, you might want to turn that off. But if you have it turned on, you'll see the path your finger makes. I enjoy that. I like the feedback from that. You can also enable gesture delete, which we've already talked about. And that's the slide left on the delete key. And you can also enable gesture control, where you move cursor left and right by sliding across the space bar. So again, you can turn those features on and off. Rolling out of glide typing and into voice typing options, you can use voice to type. You can turn that option on or off. If you don't use voice typing, you probably just want to turn that off. I find I use that microphone regularly as well. There's times when I can say what I want typed and I'll just go ahead and talk into Gboard. It works extremely well. You can speed that up though with another option. You'll find an option in there called faster voice typing. And if you select that option, you are given the option to download an 85 megabyte file that allows you to use voice typing offline and will save you some data because it doesn't have to transfer your audio back and forth to servers. So go ahead and get that downloaded. And then you have the option to turn on or off offline speech recognition. I'm sorry, it's not a turn on and off. It's an additional option. When you click on offline speech recognition, it'll allow you to choose your language. So in my case, English, US. You can update downloaded file. Occasionally you will want to do that. And then you also have the ability to hide offensive words. So those are the options in voice typing. All right, we're rolling through this long list of settings to probably the most exciting one in here. It's the dictionary settings. Now, you're probably wondering, Stephen, why are you so excited about dictionary settings? Here's why. Some of you have heard me say in past episodes, I love text expansion. I use Text Expander on Chrome OS. I use Text Expander on my Mac. There is no Text Expander for the Pixel phone. However, dictionary has a text expansion-like capability, and you can add and remove words to your user dictionary. Your dictionary is synced across devices, so if you have more than one Pixel phone or you have a Chrome OS device, this dictionary will be synced across those devices. And then what you can do is not only can you add words to your dictionary, you can add a text expansion snippet to it. So it's not quite text expansion like you're normally used to, but for instance, and you can see these snippets in the show notes, I have created a dictionary item that is the website. So it's https://www.pixelpowerpodcast.com. Now, typing that on a regular basis gets old, especially on the Pixel keyboard or the Gboard. So what I've done is I have given it a snippet, WPPP. Whenever I type WPPP in Gboard, an option in the suggestion strip pops up for that whole URL. I tap that URL and it gets inserted. So with four keystrokes, I'm able to bring up the entire website URL, click on it, and insert it. It's pretty cool. Another one I have is three capital P's will automatically add to the suggestion strip for me, Pixel Power Podcast. An at PPP will automatically put in the suggestions strip, Stephen at pixelpowerpodcast.com. So you can see this could be extremely useful for those things that are difficult to type on Gboard. So again, check out settings, dictionary, and start diving into your personal dictionary to create yourself some snippets to make it easier to type long strings of text on your Pixel phone. All right, a couple of different options, final options. One for search, you can turn the search settings, predictive content search. You can tell it that you want to suggest content or not suggest content. And then there's also a show, search, and more button for faster access to search across all options. So remember when we talked earlier at the top menu, how you could do search across everything. This is the settings that would turn that on and off. And then finally, some settings that you may or may not want to turn on. This is under the advanced area, and the advanced is share usage. Yeah, boy, I'm having a problem talking today. Share usage statistics. And these are some very difficult strings of text that Google is throwing on me. If you don't want to share how you use Gboard, turn that off. You also have the option to toggle emoji with physical keyboard. Many people do use a physical keyboard with their Pixel phone. It's a great way to have a portable keyboard and type more efficiently. If you want to do that and you want access to the emoji keyboard with a physical keyboard, you can do that. And it's pretty nice because you simply tap on the Alt key on the physical keyboard and it will show you the emoji keyboard so that you can add emojis with a physical keyboard. So that's a good option for you to remember if you're on a physical keyboard. You can also click on the shop app icon. And this is an interesting option. It will display the Gboard app icon in the launcher. I don't have this turned on. As a matter of fact, I think of all the settings I've talked to you about, this is the only option I have turned off. I don't need it because I have access to the settings and everything for the app directly from the keyboard. But if you do want to see the Gboard app in your app launcher, you can turn this on in the advanced settings. And then the last advanced setting we have is personalization. And this is like the nuclear option. If you don't want the Gboard to learn anything from you or anything about your typing, turn this off and it cancels all of that. It won't use typing or voice. It won't improve suggestions and it won't offer corrections. So again, there's your nuclear option if you are really worried about the security of your keyboard. And then the last setting for Gboard is rate us, where you can provide a rating. And I would give Gboard a rating of 5.0. I love Gboard. I think Gboard is one of the best keyboards out there. I have used the iOS keyboard. And even on iOS devices I've had, I generally install the Gboard application to get the most out of it. So hopefully you too have found some things or some tips and tools in Gboard that'll make you a Gboard power user today. If I've missed something, I really wish you'd let me know in our subreddit at Pixel Power Podcast, or you can send me a comment via email at Stephen@pixelpowerpodcast.com. And if you've started to use your dictionary, you can make that a snippet in your dictionary so that you can quickly send me an email from your Pixel phone. So there you go. There's another little tip for you. All right, so that concludes this episode, episode 0035, where we talk about everything Gboard. Stay tuned as we roll into this week's addendum. At the top of the show, I mentioned that I was behind a couple of weeks because I had a chance to go visit my 106-year-old great aunt. And here's something that's fun. It's kind of pixel related. We had an opportunity to really talk about a lot of things. And I have to tell you, for a 106-year-old lady, I have a gorgeous aunt who is sharper than I am, probably. I'm very fortunate to have had an opportunity to chat with her and get to reconnect with her and learn about her and talk about her and learn more about her. And I also had the opportunity to take her very first selfie with me. And that picture is in the show notes. As a matter of fact, we took several of them. And much like Google Photos does, Google Photos found about three of them that it liked and created a collage for me. So I have that collage up there online so you can take a look at it. And we can only all hope that we are as in good a shape as my great aunt when we are 106. And so we went down to celebrate because it was her birthday. I know she's not listening, but you know, I just feel like I have to say happy 106th birthday, Aunt Florence. It sure was great to see you. In a past episode, I mentioned a Reddit user shout out. I said their handle was SRFWX, and I wasn't sure what we were saying there. Well, thankfully, Surfwax decided to send me a message and said, hey, it's Surfwax. That's what SRFW, and I probably should have figured that out. So Surfwax, thanks for the shout out, and thanks for also telling me how to pronounce your handle. I do appreciate that. You know, one of the things that's happened as I've continued to record is I'm getting more and more episodes. We're getting ready to roll into a new year. I'm going to try and see if I can arrange the episodes by year. So I'm working on that reconfiguration now of the website. So if you go to pixelpowerpodcast.com/episodes in the future, it may be as early as this episode, but at least in some future episodes, you should start to see episodes arranged by years. So you'll know when specific episodes were were recorded in which years. You don't want to see the film. Trust me. You don't want to see that. But those should be organized pretty soon. I also had an issue this past week on my Chromebook and Pixelbook. As you know, we've had several episodes on Android flags. Go back and listen to those if you haven't. And I noticed that my Pixelbook and Slate were rebooting on a regular basis. It did turn out to be a flag, and I think I've narrowed it down to the Active Tab Previews flag. It's the little flag that you turn on, so when you put your cursor over a tab in the browser, it gives you a little snapshot of what's running in there. Don't use that one. Or if you find that your Pixelbook or Pixel Slate is rebooting, turn that off. That should take care of it. It did take me a while to figure out which one was doing it, and now everything seems to be flushed out. That's what happens when you live on the edge with some of these tabs and beta channels. So just a word of caution. Now, in the addendum, I also want to share a couple of purchases I made that I thought might be of interest to some of you. The first one I think will be of interest to any Pixel user, and it was an awesome purchase. I needed a portable power charger that would charge my Pixelbook or Pixel Slate or Pixelbook and Pixel Slate, my Pixel phone or my Chrome, you know, this variation. And I found this wonderful Anker PowerPort 2 49.5 watt wall charger with foldable plug. So it's a simple device. It's just like any charger. You unfold it, you plug it in, but it has one USB A-type charger and one USB-C type charger. And I keep it at work. I keep it plugged in. So when I have my devices there, I can plug in my phone and my Pixelbook at the same time to charge it. It was relatively inexpensive. So if you're looking for a second charger, one that's cheaper than the official Google charger and gives you two ports instead of one, go check that out so you can record so that you can charge both devices at the same time. And another purchase I made is completely unrelated, which is why we call this the addendum. This one is completely off the beaten path. But some of you know I have a blast playing with Raspberry Pis, Arduinos, physical computing. You know, I'm into 3D printers, that whole thing, that whole scene right there. And I was looking online and was wanting to play around with different sensor types. And I found this wonderful kit at Amazon. It's called the SunFounder Ultimate Mega 2560 Sensor Kit Version 2.0 for Arduino Uno. So if you play with an Arduino, this kit includes an Arduino Mega. The Mega is basically an Arduino with lots of ports so that you can connect a lot of sensors to it at the same time. And it includes 37 sensor modules. And there's a ton of sensor modules. I've got an image in the show notes. It also comes with a remote control, a little breadboard, an LCD screen. It comes with a PDF project book. But one of the things I loved about it is it also included a printed project book, and it comes with a little case to put all that in there. It is a great value for $70. If you're wanting to learn about physical computing or Arduinos just in general, what a great way to get started. Also make a great gift in case you're not interested, but somebody else. So I just thought I'd share that. I'm looking forward to kind of tinkering and getting into it. I've got a couple of things and ideas. I've got a course that I'm going to be guest lecturing for, and I wanted to grab some sensors. And this is a quick and inexpensive way for me to get those sensors and add those to the curriculum for that guest lecture that I'll be preparing. And finally, I want to remind you all again to visit the Pixel Power Podcast subreddit, link in the show notes, not just because I post episodes, but I think what you're going to find is if you go there, I post something of interest, I hope of interest to Pixel Power Podcast listeners almost daily. There's almost always something in the news that I didn't talk about, I don't have time to talk about, maybe isn't completely something that I want to include in the show, but I think you might be interested as a Pixel user. So go check that back. Go check that out. Occasionally, I do throw in an addendum item or two, but I think there's only one maybe right now. But I also tag those or add Reddit flares to those so that you know what they're associated with. So if this is an article that's associated with a Pixel phone, you'll see a Pixel phone flare. I also have flares for you as users. You can go into the subreddit, create your account, add your account or like the subreddit. And then when you post, you can add a user flare. And the user flare is a flare that will tell us what device you use or what's your preferred device. So you can have a Pixel phone as your flare, or you can have a Pixel book as your flare and share with us what your favorite Pixel device is without stating that. We'll just see it in the comments. So check it out. I'm doing a lot of really cool stuff in the subreddit, really taking advantage of what the subreddit can provide and hopefully making it a fun place for us to hang out. Hey, I know some of you don't want to create another account for Reddit. So what I've done is if you go to the Pixel Power Podcast community page, a link on the show notes, and you also find the link on the main page at www.pixelpowerpodcast, I have included the subreddit in a frame on the website so that you can review what's being posted there without going to Reddit. It's a great way if you don't want to create a Reddit account to see what I'm posting on Reddit. I actually hope you will join us in Reddit and start to comment and share your ideas. And finally, one more time, I started the episode saying that Reddit has chat rooms. Again, I want to invite you to join me on October 15th from 10 to noon Eastern Daylight Time while we chat together about the Made by Google event from New York City. Again, there will be a live stream from Twitter, link on the show notes, and I do hope you will come and join me. And that concludes this long episode 0035 of the Pixel Power Podcast. Again, I hope you learned a lot about how to get the most out of Gboard. I've got another show coming up in a couple of weeks. I think that is a good kind of companion to this one. So stay tuned, come back, send me your feedback, and I will see you, or I won't see you, but I will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for being a Pixel Power Podcast listener.